If you have your Bibles, turn to the second of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. And I'll read from the 12th verse. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful sloops, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. And here Isaiah is, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, beholding the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he uses a number of metaphors and pictures to illustrate that fundamental truth, that everything right now which is high and lofty will be brought low to nothing. But in that day, the God of truth, the God of Israel, though now he be reviled and despised and ignored and sidelined, he will be exalted. And the title given for the Lord here is sometimes translated the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies, the Lord of strength, the Lord of power. He has a day. That day is not yet. Well, that's only half true. When we became a Christian, that was the day of the Lord. It was the day upon which our vanity and our pride fell. And in our heart, he was exalted and lifted up. It was the day upon which our sin, though paid for at Calvary many years before, it was the day upon which that life-giving blood touch the doorpost of our heart. It was therefore the day of judgment. Now, of course, Isaiah isn't really talking about that individual day of the Lord that each one of us has when we come to Christ. He's talking about the main day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, which is a homecoming for we who now exalt him, but it's a terrible day of reckoning for those who continue to ignore and revile him. It shall come upon everything proud and lofty. Pride really is the midwife of every other sin. There was, I think, pride in the fall of Lucifer. There was pride in Eden. There is pride when anybody rejects the gospel. There is pride when there is dissension in the church of God. It's pride that gives birth to all that is evil and false. And in that day, that which is proud and lofty, everything lifted up, what will happen? It will be brought low. If you know anything about history, you'll know that nations rise and fall. Although we're not utterly destroyed by any stretch. We British have had our day. It was in the 1800s, arguably. The Spanish have had theirs. The French have had theirs. The Americans
have had theirs.
Are for the moment enjoying theirs. Perhaps the day of China will come, the day of India, I do not know. But there's always a pattern. They go up, they come down. But Isaiah is seeing the day when all these proud, anti-Christian nations will come down. The cedars of Lebanon, these great trees, were known for their height. The oaks of Bashan, Bashan was a very fertile area. Amos likens the well-fed women of Bashan to being like those great cows for which the area was renowned and famous, well-fed. And I imagine the oaks of Bashan are very thick and very strong, but their days also are numbered. The day of the axe is coming their way. Well, even the mountains don't get away with it. Upon all the high mountains and upon all the hills that are lifted up. Of course, I don't think he's referring necessarily to every particular mountain, to, I don't know, Ingleborough, Penygent, they will be punished in the day of judgment, though they may well be levelled, who knows. But he goes on upon every high tower. Proud men may not build a mountain, but they do build high towers to protect their vineyards or to protect their property, to enhance the security of their fortification. The high towers, their days are numbered. Every fortified wall, the day is coming when they will be breached and broken. They will be broken down. I went to Beeston Castle in Cheshire at the end of May, the beginning of June, and it seems a really wonderful fortress in Cheshire. You think, how on earth did anybody capture or conquer that? But it's a ruin. Someone did. And whatever appears strong in this day of wickedness, this day of evil, its days are numbered, for the Lord Almighty has set a day when all that is proud and hostile to him will be brought low. The ships of Tarshish, known for their trade and their wealth and the arrogance which goes with that, their days are also numbered. The beautiful ships which glide along the sea, they will not always be around. And in verse 17, Isaiah gets to the heart of the problem. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down. We are very good at exalting ourselves, of having a higher opinion of ourselves than we ought to have. One of the main problems, perhaps, with convincing people of the gospel is that they don't think they've done anything wrong. They think they're good people, that they haven't got criminal records, they've got good reputations, and the bad things they do, well, everybody does them. But in fact, all sin is objectionable and offensive to our holy God. And to say that we are good when we are not, that is haughtiness, that is pride, the very enemy of all that is good and noble, godly and true. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down. The haughtiness of men shall be brought low, and we know that Paul anticipates the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. Even they who would persecute God's people now, who would run a country without him, who would mock believers, who would set up false religions, even they will do in the day of the Lord what the believer does now freely and joyfully. The Lord will have his due. And the other kernel we find at the end of verse 17 and verse 18. But I'll read them in reverse order. The idols he shall utterly abolish. Idolatry also is a symptom of pride. We're told in the Bible that God made man. Idolatry is man making God. We might write it with a small g, but effectively that is what we think we can make a God. We think we can make a deity. We think of ourselves as the king makers, the God makers, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. Why? Because the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Now, for someone who doesn't believe, the promise at the end of verse 17 does not seem all that exciting. But for we who believe, he and it is precious. I cannot wait for the day when Christ alone will be exalted in this earth. Most people ignore him, or he is a swear word. His name is uttered when something goes wrong, or an element of surprise has been invoked. But the day is coming when the Lord alone will be exalted. And I pray, O Lord, hasten that day. Hasten that day. Come again. Amen. Amen.